Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 23. Now, brothers, I want to remind you that the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised, and on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here and praise and worship your name and hear of your word, Lord. On this day where we celebrate your resurrection, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have indeed risen, Lord, and through your own action you have redeemed us, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Most of the messages that we've been receiving through email or phone calls, and my wife and I run a business. We are tent makers. Actually, I'm a tent maker pastor, and we have our own business. And most people that come into our business will turn around and say, "Happy Easter." And then I will look at them, and they may be Jews or different religious backgrounds, and they will wish us Happy Easter. Just yesterday, someone called me, and I was talking to him. He's Jewish, and he said, "Happy Easter to you." And I said, "Happy," and I was going to say something. He says, "Don't say anything. I don't believe in anything." So he sort of prevented me from trying to wish him something. And Happy Easter is a greeting that is being given these days. And I just was thinking yesterday, and this morning also, what is Happy Easter? What does it mean, Happy Easter? And then I tried to, the few languages I speak, wish that in that language. In Greek, for example, is Christos Anesti, which means Christ is risen. In Armenian is Christos Hariavi Merelos, a little longer, which means Christ is risen from the dead. And of course, we were discussing this morning, and someone said, yeah, but in English we have the same thing too. We say, Christ is risen. And yet, very few people will use that greeting. And when we say Happy Easter, do we mean let's have a good food or good fellowship, good weather, and enjoy the vacation we take? Or do we ever think about the meaning, the real meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ when we wish or we greet someone about today? There are those today who gladly celebrate Easter, or rather the resurrection of Christ, but don't believe in his literal resurrection, or they don't really care. And you may say, well, you're talking about other religions. No, I'm talking about over 2 billion people who will call themselves Christians and will be wishing or giving that greeting. How many of them really, truly believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ? And when I talked yesterday, I was watching a Christian program, from Europe, and there was the priest and everyone else, and he had the big candle, and others came and lit the candle, and they were wishing Happy Easter. But at the end, I did not get the message that Jesus is alive and we're celebrating the living God, Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our salvation. I truly believe that the resurrection of Christ from the dead is the foundation of Christian faith. Without the foundation of his resurrection, there would be no Christianity. And if there was a Christianity, a religion, without the foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it would be a false religion. But if the resurrection of Christ is not a historical fact, then Christianity and its teachings are a lie or a terrible hoax, and we are part of it. If there is no truth in his resurrection, and if Jesus is not risen, and if Jesus is not alive, and then we are fools to spend money and time and go to church and worship and do things in the name of Jesus. And yet, if someone does not believe in Jesus, it's for nothing. But if Jesus really is risen, then there is all the reason why we should be celebrating. He is alive. He is here today, present. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Our preaching is useless, and our faith is vain. Think about it. If Jesus is not alive, for 2,000 years, people have been preaching, people have been practicing a faith, and people have been giving money and time in their lives for nothing. But he's alive. If Christ has not been raised, then Christian faith is an empty man-made religion, just like all the other man-made religions whose leaders and founders are dead, buried, and are no more. What separates Christian faith from all others is the historical fact of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. This is not only the Bible saying so, that Jesus is alive. Even historians have recorded the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. The well-known historian Josephus said, has written, and I was just refreshing my memory yesterday by looking at his writings. He said there was a man, a Jewish man, who had followers, and they followed him, and he performed miracles, and then he did all kinds of things, and then they killed him. He died, and he was buried, and then 3 days later, he was with his disciples walking and alive. So there is all the evidence anyone would need to know that Christ is alive. Not only because the Bible says so, not because Christianity says so, because we have seen him in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, at work. What separates Christian faith is his resurrection. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is the one most important and well-documented historical fact in the whole of human knowledge and history. Everyone believes about the Greek historians and philosophers, and they believe in all these things. But when it comes to Jesus, they have their doubts. Why? Because I believe the enemy of Christ has been working so hard to put that seed of doubt in the hearts of those who want to find God, who want to find Jesus, who are searching to find some hope and to find a leader, a Lord, who is alive, not dead, not an icon, not a statue, not a philosophy, not some writing, but a living God that he or she can follow and communicate with. The greatest event of all ages, toward which all previous history moved and in which all history finds its meaning, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Truly one of the most exciting and exhilarating messages that the human ears can ever hear was the one announced to a group of devoted and astonished women near a tomb about 1,977 years ago in Jerusalem. And that was, and I quote, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Why? Why do you go to a tomb? Why do you look for his remains? Why do you look for a piece of cloth with his picture? Why do you look at icons? Why do you look at statues? Why do you ask? He is alive. Talk to him and he will respond to you. You say, come on, give me a break. Well, I have been around the world, and I went literally around the world, and I went to countries where they worship animals, where they worship statues, where they worship all kinds of things, where they say they worship only one God, and yet I have seen nothing to indicate that they are communicating with a living God that will respond to them in their hearts and bring them joy and peace and forgiveness and salvation. The fact of Christ's resurrection is loaded with great significance for every Christian. Because he lives, we shall live also, including all our friends and relatives who have died in the Lord. Yes, it is true, we don't understand, and there are those who will explain exactly how it's going to happen. They will tell you, when you die, this is what happens, and then you go this place, and God is waiting there, or Peter is waiting there, and he has this. I don't know any of this. I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that when Lazarus, the poor man, died, the angels carried him into heaven, into the bosom of Abraham, which is the presence of God. And that's the extent of my understanding of death and life. I die, I am removed, my soul is removed from this body, and will appear, will be before the throne of God. My hope and prayer is that no one will miss this opportunity to be in the presence of God. Yes, I have my parents there, and I have many relatives that I'm thinking, will I go and just recognize them the way they are? Or how? Obviously, as a human being, I have those the questions, and I would like to have some answers, and someone may give me the answer, and yet I'm not satisfied because I'm not sure. And these are some of the mysteries that I, as a Christian, will have to deal with. And yet, I know the promises of God. When the rich man looked up and saw the Lazarus, the poor man, he recognized him. And so, yes, there is life after death. And yes, we will be in his presence. All that because Jesus is alive. The one most exciting thing in human experience is the thought that we are immortal. That we cannot die. That whatever happens to the body, we will live on and on and on. How can we be so sure, you may ask? We are sure because Jesus rose from the dead. The one and best established fact in all history. I mean, there have been millions, if not billions, of Bibles written. There have been millions, if not billions, of messages preached. There have been hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses seeing Jesus alive. And we are seeing the results of his life in our daily lives today. And yet, people may believe in a religion, do believe in a Christian religion, do believe in the traditional activities of a church. They do believe in worshiping. And yet, when it comes to really believing in an eternal living Jesus who is alive, they have their doubts. And this is why the angel said, why are you searching to find the living among the dead? Let me put it this way. If the resurrection of Jesus and the subsequent resurrection of all the dead is true, then life is beautiful. Life is exciting. And glorious, a life that will never end. I mean, we do all kinds of things to keep living, extend our lives a little more. And once again, I've shared this many times, I remember my mother who was approaching to be 90, and she was not feeling well, and she would say, oh son, I want to go to be with the Lord. I want to go and be with Dad, my husband. And she says, I want to go. And I would say, Mom, that's very easy. Stop taking your pills and don't. She would say, are you crazy? I got to take my pills. So you see, we want to die and yet we want to live. It's because life is so wonderful. God has created us the way we are. And if we believe that we have an eternal soul, that we will live forever, that is so exciting. But if the resurrection of Jesus is a myth, a lie, then our existence is a mystery at best. And there is nothing left but the emptiness and the darkness of eternal despair. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But praise God, by all the laws of history and historic evidence, the resurrection is true. Jesus Christ is a living person. He is alive. In 2 Timothy 1:10 we read, "But it was now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Death has no victory over us. Death has been defeated. And I quote 1 Corinthians 15 again, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." And John wrote in John 8, "I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He was quoting Jesus. And again, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? The same question is asked today. Do you believe this? Do you believe if you do, you are ready to live forever in the holy presence of God? If you have any doubts at all about your spiritual readiness, come to Him. Speak to Him. He will help you and strengthen you. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't even have to go to a pastor. You don't have to go to elders. You don't have to go to the internet. You don't have to read books to ask God a question. God is always listening to hear someone search for Him and connect with Him and ask Him a question. Listen to what Jesus promised. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Some may believe this, others may not, but I'm just quoting Jesus. If you are a Christian, if anyone is a Christian and says, "No, I don't believe that I can be saved because whatever," I'll read this verse again. It says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for being here this morning. Lord, there are many questions. There are many who have some doubts. There are many things that we don't know. And yet we know that you're in control. You have created us. You have sustained us. And you are preparing a place for each one of us. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us this morning. May the reality of your resurrection, Lord Jesus, be felt and believed by those who hear the gospel and respond to it. May the Holy Spirit prepare us once again to humble ourselves and ask your forgiveness and prepare ourselves to celebrate this communion and participate for a moment at least and remember your death and resurrection on the cross. In your blessed name I pray, amen. Will you please turn